Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Bob Hunt welcomes Senior Security Program Manager Ashish Popli to the show as they discuss how Microsoft IT protects its critical IT infrastructure. Tune in as they discuss some of the challenges associated with this, as well as some best practices on what you may want to think about when protecting your IT infrastructure from outages and attacks. Bob, the mic is yours.
So welcome everyone to TechNet Radio. Today we've got an episode talking about how Microsoft IT does infrastructure protection at Microsoft. And with me today I have Ashish, who I'll let introduce himself in a moment. But first of all, I should probably introduce myself. My name is Bob Hunt. I'm an IT pro evangelist for Microsoft based out of New York. Role of an evangelist essentially is to help other IT professionals learn about Microsoft stuff. So TechNet Radio is one of those ways that we do that. So Ashish, could you introduce yourself for our audience today?
Sure. Thanks, Bob. Hello, everyone. My name is Ashish Popli, and I'm a senior program manager in the infrastructure security team at Microsoft IT. We have a fairly large information security and risk management organization, and I'm part of that organization at Microsoft IT.
Excellent. So essentially what we have here today is we've got a discussion talking about how Ashish's team protects folks like myself, employees at Microsoft, essentially the infrastructure protection that goes on, and how we use various tools to protect our organization. The gist here is to essentially provide insight so that the IT pros looking at this video can really get an understanding of how they would do it for their companies. So I guess the best place to start here is really just start to talk about the background of this organization that you sit in, kind of the history of the space for protecting the infrastructure of Microsoft.
Sure. In terms of where the organization sits, I think it's a classic information security organization that supports a very large dynamic IT environment, which is Microsoft IT. Now, with that being said, about the space that or the history of the space that we actually fit in, as I said, I'm actually in the infrastructure security team, and the one way to sort of look at what we are doing today is that, you roll back two decades and you see that most people at that time equated enterprise security to network and host hardening. And then what that led to was a large amount of investment in products and services that allowed us to better manage the threat landscape back then. You fast forward a little bit more to 10 years and you see that industry sort of shifted the focus towards application security, as applications emerged as the weakest link in the security chain. Now that again led to sort of an uptick in investment and awareness into building more secure applications and protecting legacy applications. Now this organization has been doing all of the above in the last two decades. Where we are at today is, we are looking at things like determined human adversaries and insider threats, and they are net new challenges for security in terms of what's happening today, the new attack techniques and what have you. So, and we're kind of sitting here and thinking about how to solve those challenges from a security perspective. One of the good news as we look at this particular set of issues is that this problem is not very different from what the Department of Homeland Security is tackling under the program that they call the National Critical Infrastructure Protection Program. So, so what we are trying to do is take inspiration from that program and start putting together the pieces required to protect critical IT infrastructure from outages and attacks in the wake of current threat landscape. So that's sort of the background on how we have evolved from where we were to what we're trying to do now and what our focus area is.
Okay, so having said that, one of the things that always tends to come up, obviously there's a lot of different layers of security that you address that need to be protected. What are some of the additional challenges for going ahead and doing that? Essentially, you talked about, application layer is, kind of a weak link. What are some of the other challenges that are part of protecting Microsoft?
Sure, I think that's a great question, Bob. One of the things that we have come to realize is that a lot of programs already exist in a large organization like Microsoft, where you have the right kind of focus at the right layers, the host layer, the app layer, the infrastructure layer, and what have you. Now, where we sit in is actually looking at coordination of activities, data, intelligence across all of these programs and organizations, and having a framework to define what constitutes critical infrastructure. Now, mind you, this is a very challenging problem, and that continues to be a challenge for us as well, because it's not easy to define what constitutes critical and how do we identify what's critical, given a lot of programs already have a big focus on protecting what's critical at Microsoft. So we tend to come in and look at the existing coverage of these programs and find places where we can add value. So it's not so much about implementing product and services at each layer of the protection stack, but it's more about where the gaps are given what we already have. And that's more in line with how we can protect against the current threat landscape versus protecting against previous landscapes.
Interesting. So lots of stuff already in place, essentially managing essentially the threats as, you know, obviously, you know, technology evolves just as fast at Microsoft as it does for everybody else, possibly faster with all the beta software and things that we do run in production around here. So I can imagine that's, you know, a challenge as well. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the approach. You know, so the infrastructure protection that, you know, you provide to Microsoft. Let's talk about the approach you're taking to, you know, build the program.
Sure. We started about 9 months ago when we defined the problem statement of, you know, basically critical infrastructure protection. What does that mean for Microsoft? And since then, we have come to a realization that the core value of a program like this really depends upon identifying where existing programs fail to identify risk. Existing programs do identify a lot of risk, but their coverage may not be sufficient. And we basically try to label that as failing at our seams. So generally, where existing programs meet, there are seams there, and there might be broken seams, and there might be loose seams. And that's where we need to focus on. So I'll give you an example to sort of exemplify what I mean by that. You know, you may have an application security program that eventually results in granting an exception to an application to run in an internet-facing environment for a short amount of time, let's say. And then that's one program. Another program which deals with security monitoring may be effective in picking up classic network and host-based attacks, but it may not be effective in picking up the fact that that little window of time when the vulnerable application was there was actually exploited. And that's what we call a broken seam in our definition. And our job is to identify where those broken seams are. I'll take another example of a loose seam, quote unquote. You know, in a classic IT environment, access to systems and resources may be restricted and controlled via a typical identity and access management system such as Active Directory. But then, once you got that level of control over who can access what, you may not have processes and tooling in place that allow for monitoring deviations from what may be considered access as usual or business as usual. Now, having the ability to monitor deviations from what is considered normal is critical for such a program, and we call and not having that is basically a loose seam in our parlance.
Okay, so what? So, for example, you talked about tools to monitor essentially what was you would consider business as usual. What are we? Can you talk about the technology that we're using for that today? I'm guessing this is a Microsoft technology, or is it something that we built in-house?
No, this is sort of a R&D area, so to speak. There is no silver bullet to do that. It's a very hard problem to solve. And there are school of thoughts around that and how big data can be used to, as a technology, big data can be harvested to depict normal behavior and find deviations from it. There is no one silver bullet at this point, and this continues to be a big problem for all large corporations, and we are sort of investigating our approaches there at this point. But there is no one tool or product right now.
So it's a comprehensive approach across all the different layers you touched on. Okay. So what have you accomplished so far? You know, so you know, for the program, and essentially, what is coming for the future as this program evolves?
Sure. As I said, we've been 9 months into the program, and one way for us to learn about the space, the approaches, and what have you, is to actually do assessments of what we consider critical IT infrastructure. So at this point, we have gone ahead and completed a couple of major assessments that took a lot of planning and thinking and execution. So we went ahead and did a comprehensive assessment of our external environment, a comprehensive assessment of our corporate Active Directory environment. And, you know, in terms of accomplishments, the major learnings actually are about knowing why and how our current controls are not sufficient to meet the protection needs in the wake of current threat landscape and attack techniques. So that's really a key learning, and that's a major accomplishment that we consider important, because we did not have that kind of visibility earlier. And if we are going to approach this problem of determined human adversaries and insider threats, then we got to understand how we are protected as a whole versus in silos. So that's a big learning for us, and in that space. The other things that we have been working on are we cannot go about assessing these critical infrastructure areas in an ad hoc way. So we are investing quite a bit in understanding the right assessment methodology that we need to use, that can be used to open up process gaps, technology gaps, that will allow us to focus our investments then on the right kind of tools that we need. This being in nascent stage, I would say that it'll take us about 2 to 3 years to build something that models the National Critical Infrastructure Protection Program and institutionalize that in MSIT.
Interesting. And so can you touch on some of the technologies that you're using today? Or I should say, you know, let's talk about what you're monitoring, right? I mean, I'm guessing you've probably got different, you know, versions of Windows Server. You've got, you know, all sorts of applications. Can you touch a little bit on the different technology landscape of what you're protecting, just so our audience can understand that?
That's a good question, Bob. I think maybe there's room for us to talk about, how we have divided our world in terms of how we view this infrastructure world. What we did was we did sort of a baseline assessment of sorts across MSIT a couple of months ago, and we came up with the top 10 areas, infrastructure areas, that we thought were a good way to dissect infrastructure world, and they included things like the server space. You just talked about Windows services, all of that goes into that space. Then there's another space called managed client, which basically means your classic IT desktop, what kind of protection needs to be applied there. Then there is another layer called cryptographic services, all the IPsec, PKI kind of stuff happens there. Then there's another layer called identity and access management, all the Active Directory, ADFS, all of that happens in that layer. Then you have layers like private cloud. Then you have environments like extranet. That's how we kind of split our world, and there are 10 of these. In terms of what protection is already applied, that all depends upon who's managing that area. And there are some horizontal services that are available across the board, things like PKI, AD, and what have you. But then there are specific vertical services that enable that protection for each of these areas. For example, for our managed client, we use Forefront, right? And our job is to see how far Forefront stretches to protect in the current threat landscape. So that's the kind of thinking that we are putting into place to see where the gaps may be.
That's interesting. So one of the things that also kind of comes out to me, you talked about the different areas in terms of the way Microsoft has looked at applying protection to our infrastructure. As we're moving towards, putting in place something that looks like this National Critical Infrastructure Protection Program that Homeland Security has provided, was the way that we approach things far off from that guidance, or, you know, were we relatively close to it?
So let me sort of restate that question a little bit, because the way we think about that relationship or that mindset is that, there's a lot of... if you look at the national critical infrastructure, there's a lot of protective measures already in place. Yet we have a program that pulls everything together, which is what DHS is calling a critical infrastructure protection program. So the fact that a lot of protection already exists, but we still need a cohesive strategy to pull everything together, is a major influencer for this program. Now, we will not be able to, replicate exactly what the DHS program is doing, But what we do realize is that it's a major effort in terms of coordination of activities, data sharing, intelligence across multiple organizational boundaries. And that's key to this program. So I'm not sure if I actually totally answered that question or I answered a different question. Is there anything that you would like me to highlight beyond that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you got what I was looking for is that the interesting thing here is that previously we had essentially five different, you know, areas it sounded like where we were, you know, dealing with infrastructure protection. And the inspiration that we've gotten from this critical infrastructure protection program has really forced us to really, rather than having it decentralized, really centralizing it so we can protect the infrastructure as a unit rather than through, you know, separate methods based on the separate different, you know, areas of you know, of our infrastructure that you outlined. You know, so I think that's a, you know, that's a key takeaway to you know, essentially bring out something that's really a best practice that we've learned through this journey. Would you agree with
that? It's a major learning in the sense that you could have your enterprise security blueprint and each cell tackling its own space, but then when you look at the whole, you find those gaps in the seams, and that's where really the opportunity for the new set of attack techniques exist, and that's where we need to close those gaps, and that's where the focus of this particular program is.
Fantastic. No, so just to kind of summarize, you have any you know, concluding remarks or any best practices that you'd like to pass along to our audience?
Yeah, sure. I think as I think about it, a couple of key themes have emerged since we started the program. You know, you bring this thought process to the table, and you want to start finding those gaps or the seams that are broken or loose. One of the themes is that first and foremost, we have to recognize that building successful relationships with IT stakeholders is key to such a program. This is security mindset 2.0, and security mindset 1.0 is still prevalent in IT stakeholder space. So building key relationships to influence them in the security 2.0 mindset is really important, you know, to make progress for this program. Second, I think this was sort of a surprise learning for this program that, you know, businesses, it shouldn't have been surprised, but actually it came as a surprise, was that businesses will continue to transform IT. And when you look at it from an IT stakeholder perspective, architecting security for the future state is much more important than evaluating the current state. So as we move to the cloud, as we move to the devices and the services model, a lot of what IT does changes, and how we plan for that business changes. So if you apply the thinking of how do we protect against the major attack scenarios today, then not only you have to protect against today's setup, but you have to protect against tomorrow's setup. And generally there's a lot more value placed in how will I do it better tomorrow versus how do I fix my current state, because that's going to change anyway. So that's a big sort of thinking pattern that has emerged as a result of this interaction model that we have had with IT. The third I would say is that, you know, I sometimes laugh about this, but remediation is always more complex. Always is a key word, more complex than what most security people think. So when we find stuff, fixing it is not as straightforward as a recommendation. It involves multiple times a project of its own and a cycle of its own to get to the end state. So I think we are getting very cogent feedback and on how to actually think about making the desired level of changes, because the remediation is key, and it takes a while to get to the remediated end state given the threat landscape continues to change and business continues to transform IT. So some of the learnings as we plan through this program.
That's fantastic. Well, that's great. So I appreciate the time, Ashish. This was, I think, very valuable session, just covering the way, you know, a company would approach looking at their infrastructure protection as well. So the best way to you know, find out more information on you know, on other Microsoft IT showcase sessions is hitting my blog, which is www.bobhunt.net. As I said, once again, I'm an IT pro evangelist at Microsoft. Most critical things that I get, questions, downloads, and so on, I put it a short URL, which I think Chris is going to put at the bottom of this session, which is shortened URL, aka.ms/fab4. It's another great way to stay abreast with the latest and greatest Microsoft technologies. With that, I think we will wrap up today's session. Thank you for your time, Ashish, and look forward to seeing you again on another episode of TechNet Radio.
Pleasure talking to you.